Well, greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is day three in a seven-day series that I titled Lessons from the Garden. We're right in the process of moving. The lady that owns this house that we're living in currently is getting married, and so she wanted her house, and we're actually going to be renting from her brother, which is only about a mile or so away. And he bought a farm, and so he moved out of that house. He moved out like several weeks ago now, and we've been over there doing some painting and different things. And we're actually going to be moving on Thursday, just a couple days from now. But here at this place that we're living currently, we have a nice garden spot. It has a good sunny location, and it's good soil, and it's been gardened or farmed for quite a few years, I'm sure, and people have put in a lot of fertilizer and different things in it throughout the years, and it grows a very good garden. And this spring I tilled it up and planted it, and you know, we have corn and beets and beans and tomatoes and potatoes and all kinds of different things. And you know, it's taken some tending, and it's a real nice looking garden. People have commented how good it looks, and you know, there's been some mulching and some pruning and different things, all the things that you do in a garden to make it grow well and to make it look good. And of course God is the one that gives the increase. He's sent the good weather, and he's even protected us from having insects and things this year, which usually I have to powder and spray things and stuff like that, but this year I haven't had to do any of that, and everything's growing well. The little bunnies are out there getting their little share sometimes. But at the other house, it's not quite like that. The person that lived there, he was going to be moving out, and he didn't plant a garden in that place. He has a nice garden spot. It's also a nice sunny location, and I'm sure there's been a lot of fertilizer and things over the years, and it looks like pretty good soil. But that garden looks quite a bit different than this garden here. It has, it's full. My garden's full here, and that one's also full, but it's full of weeds. And I was over there on Saturday, and I was mowing the grass. And I was going around this garden, and I was thinking, what am I going to do with this garden, you know? And here I don't need another garden. I'm not going to plant it, but the thing is just a mess, you know? It's just full of weeds, and there are some rows of strawberry plants, which you can see the plant still, but barely, because of all the weeds that are growing up through there, and it's just, you know, it's a mess. What do I do? And so it showed me that there's a difference in gardens, and the difference is the care of the garden, that we need to take care of a garden before it's going to produce much. I have confidence that this garden here, that where we're living, is going to produce a lot. And even though we're not going to be living here, the lady who's moving in said that we can, you know, harvest our garden and things. And so it's quite the contrast between that garden over at the new place and this garden here. And in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. God is the husbandman. He is the gardener. He is the one that watches over his people and takes care. He's the one that plants and convicts, and also he brings people along. He's with us in our trials and our troubles and discouragement or problems, and he's there to take care of us. He's protects us from the devil and from his evil ways, and he is a good gardener. He is the one that watches over us. He is a good husbandman. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then it goes on and talks about the branches, and the branches are you and I if we are in Christ, if we are in that vine. And those branches need pruning sometimes, and It doesn't feel good to be pruned, but God is the pruner. He's the one that does it right, and He knows what to do. And so God is the husbandman, and that's what I wanted to look at today, is that God is the husbandman, and He has done all things well. But, you know, there is a difference between a plant that, you know, you keep the weeds out, you plant it, you fertilize, and the water is there, and the plant will grow. Now, sometimes it doesn't. I've had potatoes where they just don't grow for some reason, or, you know, different things don't grow. They don't germinate. And we can learn some lessons. We'll talk about some of that in a later time. But the difference between a plant and a person is a person has a choice, and we do have a choice what we're going to do with the husbandman that prunes us, and with the husbandman that pulls out the weeds around us. And sometimes it hurts a little bit when some things are pulled out and stuff like that. We have a choice to make. And here in Isaiah chapter 5, it says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." So here this is a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and this is the well-beloved. This is talking about God the Father. It says, "And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I had not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." And then he goes on and he tells how he's going to tear down the hedge, and he's going to take down the tower and different things, and even stop the rain. And then it says, verse 7 says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for a judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." And my point is that even God, who is the good husbandman, the one that does all things well, we have a choice to make. And we can choose not to appreciate God and not to do what He wants us to do and not to be what He wants us to be and what He's planned for us and what he's putting into our lives. We think, oh, well, He doesn't care about us, but maybe we're He's just pruning some dead wood off of us, or some, like on my tomatoes, you know, you take those little suckers off in between the stalk and the leaf there, you take those off, and you need to do some pruning. Well, that pruning hurts sometimes. It even bleeds sometimes. We prune the grapevines here, and if you do it at the wrong time when the sap's flowing, it leaks all over the place, because it's, you know, and it can be like that too with us. And we might not appreciate God as the husbandman, but God is a good husbandman, and He does all things well. And in Psalms, this is a beautiful chapter in Psalms, and it's one that I had memorized a few years ago, and it's Psalms 121. It says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Where does my help come from? "My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Listen to what he says here about the Lord, what he does for his vineyard, for his people. "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, and from this time forth and even forevermore." So the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is the one that watches over us, and He preserves our our going out and our coming in, and he will not suffer our foot to be moved. And my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So God is our husbandman, and he provides all things for us, and we shouldn't squirm, and we shouldn't complain, and we shouldn't be worried about things when they don't quite go the way that we want them to go, because God has a master plan, and he has a plan for our life. In Jude 24, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And in Revelation 3:10, it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." There's so many passages that we could look at. Let's see. In 1 Peter, I want to read a verse there. I guess it's a short verse. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." That if we would cast our care upon the Lord, because he does care for us, as 1 Peter 5:7. And one other passage I want to look at is in 2 Corinthians, and this doesn't necessarily talk about gardening. Some of these don't. We're just talking about God being the husbandman, or the good shepherd, or the well-beloved, our Father in heaven who watches over us. It's the same picture. I guess it's different pictures, but it's the same person. It's the same idea that God is there for us. He's not against us. God is not against you, my friend. He is for you. And maybe you're being pruned. Maybe you're being tried. Maybe there's things that aren't going well that you don't think are going well in your life. But, you know, God has a master plan. I didn't want to move from this house, and it's a trial to have to move. But I just trust God. He has things for us maybe in that neighborhood on the other side of the that other road and things. You know, we just need to trust God for what he does and the way he leads our lives. So here in 2 Corinthians it says, this is chapter 6, is, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So here God is a father who he's a father to us, but there's things that we also need to do, and there's things that we also, choices that we also can make. And one of the things here is not to be yoked together with unbelievers, and to not have part with the things that are not of God, and to come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And that's not talking about touching people. It's talking about touching sin in sinful ways. And so here, that God will be a father. And it also says here that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And God helps us in that. He does help us in these things, but there's also a part for us to do there. So God bless you today. Look to God, who is our Father, who is our husbandman. Look to him today and know that he loves you, he cares for you, and he has a master plan and a good plan for your life. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in. And you can leave a message by pressing 99 on your phone after this goes off here. You can press 99, and then you can leave a message and tell me about some things about gardening and about farming and about a garden that that would be something that I can even share in the next few days. So God bless you. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow.